Pasuk Vav, page 867. Ben Yechabed Aver Adonav Perush Yira Es Adonav, a slave fears his master. K'moish Amar Aye Moiroi, like it says in the pasuk itself. Where is my fear? How come you have not feared me? The chain tartig Yonasanho al Bura Amir Liyakara. A bara, amir, I guess it's the correct thing to give honor. Yosabo the avdol limitchal, and it is the correct thing for a slave limitchal to fear yos kadam riboynei. Uve omroi, this that it says vein yichabira ve'evradoynav zeum derchas seichel v'hamloham beforsam. This is what we discussed yesterday. We left off. This is something which is logical. It's something which even irreligious people that are not religious at all. They understand that sheroi it is proper laben lechavides aviv v'hoeved muchrach has no choice liro to fear es adonav lochem hakoyanim boizei shmi. And this we're up to heivich kivoyd haben laav. What is the opposite of honor? The answer is bizyonos. V'yichiach tichila lakoyanim shohoy lechem loyichiach lohoyres k'may shamar uvaso el hakoyanim halaviim. Hashem here is giving Musar to the Kohanim. We need to adapt this in the question, why here is this Musar directed specifically against the Kohanim? This Musar can be directed against the entire Klal Yisrael. This crime of the Bein not giving honor to his father and the Eved not giving honor to his master is not unique to the Kohanim. This is a problem for the entire Klal Yisrael. So why is the pasuk going proceeding to give Musa specifically to the Kohanim? So the answer is, the answer is that the Kohanim are the models, the Kohanim are the teachers, the Kohanim, they set the tone. It's a trickle-down society. If the leaders of Klal Yisrael are behaving properly, then from there it follows the Hamoin Am, the common man, imitates the leaders. The Einei Ho'eda. You know, in the Goyisha world, there are websites. I'm not familiar with this, but some years ago I heard about this. I haven't. But there are websites where celebrities, whatever they're wearing, whenever you see a celebrity wearing on a television, on the news, or in some event, or in some soap opera, whatever they're wearing, immediately this website figures out exactly what they're wearing, and they right away connect all, they put into motion the entire system for people to go onto their website and to buy exactly the outfit, the shoes, the pocketbook, the hat of what the celebrity is wearing. When you see in the news, I'm not going to say names over here in a shir, but there's certain people over here that are very popular in society. Everyone is always looking at them. As soon as they see what they're wearing, oh, I have to have that as well. It sets a trend, it sets a style. It's amazing. It's a million-dollar business. I remember once hearing about this. A certain website where they focus on certain people, and the moment they're seen in public, they're seen somewhere. Oh, this is what they're wearing. Okay, fantastic. And right away, it's a trickle-down effect on society. Now, unfortunately. We live in a Goyish world where the only thing people are trying to imitate and follow are their clothing. Their clothing and all of the narishkeit. But when it comes to the midos toivos, it's not so simple. And in Klal Yisrael, this was a very big debate when it comes to selecting voting where Rabbanim endorse candidates. It's very common where you have a candidate that whose policies are phenomenal, are very good for the Jews, but their morals, their character, their presence is the complete opposite of everything that it says in Pirkei Avos. And it's a very big dilemma. Who do you vote for? Who do you vote for? Do you vote for the candidate that has policies that are beneficial to us? As if our vote makes a difference anyway, but anyway, you know, you have to go through the motions. Or do you say no? It's better to have a moral, dignified person, even if his policies are not to our benefit. It trickles down, it makes a difference. Where is there greater damage to society? Having a person who's morally corrupt, even if he's a friend of the Jews. It makes a difference to the world. People look at leaders, they look at their moral conduct, their behavior, and it really does make a difference. It's not an insignificant thing. I'm not going to give you examples, but over the last 10, 15 years, you know all the examples better than I do. It's a very, very big problem. Over here, there are Kohanim, the Kohanim, they set the tone, their behavior, their conduct, it sets the tone for Klal Yisrael. If they are morally just and are models for society, then it trickles down this good behavior to Klal Yisrael. If they are corrupt, if they are nasty, evil, ugly people, it trickles down. And that's exactly why we hear Akhuz Baruch is coming to say to Klal Yisrael, when he's coming to give a Musar, the Musar that he's delivering really can be applied to every single common man, but he's focusing specifically on the Kohanim, because they are the leaders. People look up to them, and people say, if this is what the Kohanim can do, then I can do that. I can do the same thing.
Okay, I got it.
So the Klal Yisrael says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Klal Yisrael says to Hashem, what are you talking about? How can you make this claim that we disgrace your name? V'yateshuva be'emorchem shulchan Hashem nivzehu. Hashem responds, he's going to the end of the pasuk, when Klal Yisrael says, when Hashem says that your table, when we say to Hashem that your table is disgraceful, Ela shehitim liskar Hagiul Shoisim Uhu Shoiser Shoimer Magishim. But before we get to the final answer, Hashem is going to the entire dialogue, the whole process. Next pasuk, Zayin Magishim Lechem Migo'ol. Hashem says that you bring me bread that is disgusting. Karban, the Lechem Migo'ol is a code word for a korban. I can say by the Karban Tamid, as Karboni Lachmi. By the Karban Tamid, my carbon, which is my bread. As Lechem Elokecha, Lechem Isher, Karboni Lachmi. The word lechem is always a code word for a karban. Migo'ol. What does the word migo'ol mean? It means mito'ov, disgusting. Umitunaf, it is dirty. And this refers to what the pasuk says later on, the different types of animals which are defective. Piseach, it is lame, okay, iver, blind, and choyle, and it is sick. Hashem, Klal Yisrael says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how can you make that accusation? How are we disgraced? How have we detested you? If so the answer is, yes. How are we disgraced? That's the answer.
So this is what
he says. Right. So it's all really the same, because Hashem's korban is really our relationship with Hashem. The korban is
Hashem.
Right, it's not the right. It's, yeah, of course, it's not the shulchan. It's right. The service of Hashem. Yeah,
so who is it that's disgusted here?
What?
Who is it that's disgusted?
The Hashem is disgusted. Look at the word shulchan Hashem.
But yet we say lo me'astim lo ge'altim. Right, Hashem has not.
Us? That's not this pasuk. That's a different pasuk.
I know.
Hashem has not despite everything we have done to him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not reciprocated. Hashem lo ma'asid lo galtim. Hashem has not has not rejected us. Hashem has not despised us. Even though we are deserving, even though we think there should be tit for tat, even though that we have despised Hashem, nevertheless, Hashem has not reciprocated and despised us. And Chanami, let's look with the world one more time. Shulchan Hashem, Chanam is Beach. I'm sorry, the previous line. Vamartem, Bameh Ge'al Nucho. How have we despised you? Okay, Rav Kalman is pointing out that it's over here. We're switching from the bread, the object, to Hashem. It's a good point. The Eich Toimru, how can you say, Bameh Ge'al Nucho, Im Tigualu B'dom Mizbechi? The answer is, he's explaining, if you disgrace, he's explaining that if you have despised the blood, that is equivalent to despising Hashem. Very excellent. Even though, thank you, even though over here the topic is the bread, but the bread is really the same thing as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whose bread is this? This is Hashem's bread. So it's all one and the same. By disgracing, despising the Karbonos, in essence, you are despising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shulchan Hashem, Hu HaMizbech, Hino Amar B'Yechezkel, Al HaMizbech, Zeh HaShulchan HaShel Lefnei Hashem. The Shulchan and the Mizbech are interchanged. We have this many times where we interchange the word Shulchan for the word Mizbech. Nivzehu, that's why you're by the table, on our dining room table, the halal, you're supposed to have salt. One of the reasons why you put on the dining room table salt is because alcohol, karboncha, takriv, melach. Every carbon needs salt. So therefore the shulchan, our dining room table, is the shulchan. But in essence, it's really a remez to the mizbeach of Hashem. Everything the person eats on the mizbeach, if you eat it with kiddush or tahara, you wash the tilas yodayim, you make a berachas hamotzi, you say berachas hamazon. In essence, every time that you eat something, you are bringing to Hashem a korban. You're living with the hashkafa and the ideals that the Torah establishes for Klal Yisrael. Every time you eat on your dining room table, you bring the HaKadosh Baruch Hu a korban. And therefore, there are different, like minhagim. For example, there's a minhag that Friday night, you toss, not throw, you toss the bread to the people at the table after you slice the bread. You slice the lechem mishneh, you slightly toss the bread to the people around the table. Why? Because when the Kohanim would put the meat upon the fire of the Mizbeach, they stood on the ramp. They did not actually enter to the Mizbeach. They stood on the edge of the ramp, and they would toss the meat from the ramp to the fire of the Mizbeach in the center. So that's the halacha. So that's the halacha. Whatever the Gemara derives that from, I do not know, but that's the halacha. So as a similar method, when you slice the bread and you pass the bread around to the members of the family, you toss it slightly from where you sit to the people next to you. Don't throw it. You're not supposed to throw. That's why I'm here. Not supposed to throw, but toss. The difference between throwing and throwing is like a pitcher. You throw at a distance. A slight toss is what's brought down. A slight toss is a zecher for the kohanim tossing the meat of the carbon to the fire of the mizbeach. Everything on the table has a relationship to the mizbeach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's just general thing. This concept is learned from this pasuk. This is Yecheskel, Zeh HaShulchan HaShel Lefnei Hashem. The pasuk explicitly calls Yecheskel the mizbeach, calls the mizbeach the shulchan. Next, Nivzehu Shemakrim Shem Hadam HaChalav Shem Devam Nivzim. That you say that it's nivzeh, because what do you bring upon the mizbeach? You bring the mizbeach blood and fats, which are in essence things which are disgusting. Ve'enam misinim el libam lama tziva kel yisparach la'akriv dam v'chalavim. And you do not pay attention to understand why. You don't understand the essence. You don't understand delve into the purpose of kabbanos. And when you don't understand what you're doing, then everything becomes a burden. Everything becomes disgusting. Okay, the Radak is not elaborating upon this anywhere near what Rashi said. Rashi said it's very fascinating. I did yesterday is that all of the korbanos of the day are supposed to be equally divided amongst all of the kohanim who are serving that day, which was obviously a very big effort, a very big tircha to do. And for whatever the reason is, the kohanim refused to go through this effort. It was too much of a tircha. And the Radak is really filling in. It's because they don't understand the purpose. if they would really understand what the purpose of Karbanos is all about, and delve into the inner meaning of a Karban, it would be an honor for them. It would be a privilege to go through the effort and do things the way they're supposed to be done. It's because they have not taken out the time and invested in delving into the understanding what exactly is the purpose of having a Beis HaMikdash, of having Korbanos, serving as Kohanim. It's just misafa v'lachutz, it's superficial. I want to become superficial, that everything in life then becomes a burden. Religion becomes a burden. Well, we don't have that problem because we don't have Korbanos today.
Okay.
But the Kohanim, obviously, it's what you're saying, your question you're asking, something which all the Befarshim is, that the conclusion is, today it is basically impossible for us to really understand what is the purpose of a Karban. It really is. I mean, what are you going to expect? You take an animal, and you take the life of an animal, and you offer it to Hashem. How does that atone for your sins? You can say all these nice words. Really, there are a lot of nice words you can say, but it's very mystical. Everything is beyond our comprehension. We fool ourselves in thinking sometimes that we understand what it's all about, but it's really something that is beyond our comprehension. And part of that is because we are living in Golus. We do not have the Shechina resting upon us. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Shechina rested. When the Shechina was present, it was a different life. People were alive. Their minds were online. Okay, you can have a very nice computer, but if it's not plugged in, it's dead. It's very sophisticated, the computer. There are a lot of components. Most people don't even use a teeny fraction of the power of what they can do with a computer, with a smartphone. we don't use it. It's all there, but we don't use it. We don't know how to use it. No one taught us. We don't realize what we can do. It's the same thing. There is a whole world of knowledge, understanding of how we can live our lives and relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Part of the tragedy of the Churban is we don't have that. We're not utilizing our potential. And you're saying, right, obviously the Kohanim that he's speaking to then, at that point in time, they were lax in being able to fully appreciate. They had tools, they had resources available to them to give them a better appreciation of what their service is all about. And they failed in that regard. And we are guilty just the same, even though we don't have the Shechina. But we all know that if we would spend time to prepare to do a mitzvah properly, we would have a much greater appreciation on our level of what the mitzvah is all about. Every day you put on talis and tefillin, do we really appreciate what the mitzvah is all about? Do we even say the l'shem yichud? Do we learn the halachos? And we can do this. It's not like anyone is holding us back. If we really wanted, we would delve in to these mitzvahs, and there is plenty of material out there. There are plenty of shiurim. There are many sefarim on every person's level, and we're just not interested. We're out to lunch. And therefore, when we do it, we don't appreciate what we're doing, and when you don't appreciate what you're doing, eventually it becomes a burden. And when it becomes a burden, that becomes a very big problem. And that, in essence, is the way the Radakum here is learning Pshat in the Pasuk. Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying to the Kohanim, you do not appreciate the opportunity that I'm giving you by allowing you to serve as Kohanim in my Beis HaMikdash. You have not invested the time to learn and understand what is really going on over here. And therefore, you look at this service as a burden. You'd rather be out going somewhere on vacation somewhere, and now you get a telephone call. Don't forget, you're on duty this week. This week, this is the Miluim. This week is you've been called for service. It's your Mishmar. You're up at bat. Make sure you get on a plane and get to Yerushalayim and check in the dormitory because you have to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. And you say, what? This week? Right in the middle of my vacation? Right in the middle of my vacation? Right in the middle of some event? My business is going, I'm on a business venture, and this and that? Couldn't be a worse time. Couldn't be a worse time to get that phone call to be reminded, you better show up this week because it's your Mishmar. That's a problem. That goes to show that you really don't, you don't appreciate. If you really appreciate it, it would be just the opposite. Your whole life would revolve around when it's my mishmar, when it's my opportunity to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, and everything else is tofel. And we all know that in our own lives it's exactly the same thing. What is the ikar? What is the tofel? Mm-hmm. There are tayag mitzvahs. I always tell you this. Life is like a video game. Okay, if you're a video now, you're a child, there are two types of video games. There's a video game where you're driving, you're going to reach a destination. And as you're going to reach your destination, the game is watch out for the obstacles. Wherever you go, there's a wall here, there's a ditch here, there's a mountain here, there's obstacles. All different types of obstacles. And the goal is to reach your destination and avoid encountering the obstacles. And then there are video games where you're cruising along, nothing can happen to you as you're cruising along, and the goal is, as you reach your destination, there are gold coins, there are treasures all over. Chap! Who can reach the destination and chap as many treasures on the way as he can find? Life is the game. Your goal is to reach your destination. Mea ve'eshem shana. How do you look at the Taryag mitzvahs? Are they obstacles in life, or are they gold coins? For some people, you have an agenda. You want to reach your destination. No, I'm a Jew. I'm an Orthodox Jew. I don't want to upset my parents, my grandparents. I don't want to upset, you know, my family. I'll be observant. But the Taryag mitzvahs, in my eyes, is nothing more than a burden. They're obstacles. I have to maneuver my life to avoid all of the apps. Can't eat, this is not kosher. Okay, I'll eat kosher. You have to do this, I'll do this. But it's a burden. And for some people, every time you come across a mitzvah, this is a golden opportunity. This is a pot of gold. So that's what he's saying over here. The Kohanim here are living their lives, and he's telling them, the opportunities that I'm giving you in your eyes is a burden. It's a burden. They're obstacles. And when you, the Kohanim, who are the leaders, when you look at life as all of the events, all of the mitzvahs are burden, it is a trickle-down effect upon the common man. If for the Kohanim it's a burden, so for me it's a burden as well. Over here, if you can imagine that you have a Kohen, let's say you're on vacation. The Kohen's on vacation. He's out somewhere, I don't know, on a cruise, and he's talking to a Yisrael, and as he's talking, the Kohen gets a phone call from the office of the Beis HaMikdash and says, "Hello, Mr. Kohen. Now you, Mr. Kohen, I just want to remind you, this Sunday your Mishmar begins. You better check in to the Beis HaMikdash." And the Yisrael is listening to Mr. Kohen. Oh, yeah, I forgot all about it. And he starts saying some really nasty things. Oh, what a, it couldn't come in a worse time. So what kind of effect does that have on the listener? If even the Kohen views his service to be a burden. It's even more shrek to be a guy, right? So he has just destroyed the Yisrael. When the Yisrael sees that the Kohen views his service as a burden, so when the next time the Yisrael has a choice of bringing aliyah l'regel or bringing a karban, if to the Kohen it's such a burden, alachas kam v'kam, for me it's a burden. That's a very big problem.
By the way, the purpose of korbanot, yeah, the name korban,
come close.
Lev l'ashem.
Korv l'ashem.
And the minute if, so the I cannot see Hashem there, it's a Beit Hashem. Okay, and the Kohen is the Shaliach Shel Hashem, is a middleman.
Absolutely right.
Okay, so that's what it is. If the Kohen misbehaves, says, "Oh, this is Hashem, for this I came." So the Amcha, how do they feel?
Exactly.
If they will, and they be Kovai Ekadesh and Lehefer, be Kovai ani Etchalel, it's terrible.
So exactly.
Their duty is to teach and to
elevate society.
to bring him closer to Hashem.
Karev, to make bring him close.
Korban. So you know, you open Eirei Kam, so you bring something, you bring an animal. But the purpose is with Karev Hashem Kiv.
Absolutely. A major element of bringing a Korban was the social interaction with the Kohanim. You don't get that in the Torah. When you read the Pesuk in the Torah, it appears that the purpose of bringing a Korban is just to take an animal and to take its blood. The Kohen, you know, you need someone to do. You need a butcher. When you go to Galat Mart, do you ever meet the butcher in the back room? It used to be in the olden days. You know, in the olden days, you go to a butcher shop. You deal with the butcher. You deal with the person who cut the meat for you. And you tell them what kind of meat you want. Back in the day, today doesn't exist. Today you go to Galat Mart. What?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, how many people really ask? But I remember the old days they had a real butcher store. My grandfather's brother, he was a butcher. He was a real butcher. You go into the store and you deal with the person. The person who takes the money is the person who cuts the meat. And you communicate. It's all they have there is just meat. There's meat all over the place. Today, you go into the store. It's packaged in styrofoam plate with plastic and a price. It's all there out for you. And where's the butcher? Butcher? I don't know. I thought the meat grows on trees. Whoever heard of a butcher? The butcher is just. If we can replace the butcher with a robot, they probably will. Maybe we replace them with a robot. Who needs a butcher? Who needs the person? So many people, then you go to the Beis HaMikdash, all the accounts is the meat is on the fire of the Mizbeach. And the blood was poured on the Mizbeach. Person? Who cares about the person who did it? The Torah says the Kohen should do it. The Kohen is just an invisible person. There could be nothing more false than what I just said. The whole purpose of the Korban, in fact, is not so much the blood and the meat and the fire. It is the interaction with the Kohen. And the Chazal tells you have to go read the Midrashim. When the person came to the Beis HaMikdash to bring a Korban, you were interrogated. It was like an FBI interrogation. You come to the Beis HaMikdash, they don't show you the interrogation room. It's interesting, they don't show you in the model of the Beis HaMikdash, all these beautiful models. You can have, you know, these high-tech 3D models and this and that. There's one thing they're missing in all the models, the interrogation room. You come to the Beis HaMikdash and you declare, I'm here. Hineni, I'm going to bring a Korban. Oh, you want to bring a Korban?
It's like TSA, screening.
Yeah, exactly. But it wasn't just a one-shot, 1-2-3 deal.
No.
They sat you down. You want to bring a Korban, really? Okay, what did you do? Like confession booth, lahavdil elef alfei avdolos. Think about it. Isn't that really what it is? By the goyim, they have this thing called the confession. Where does that come from? It comes from the Kohen. That's really where it comes from. When you come to the Beis HaMikdash, you don't just bring a Korban. First of all, you probably have to go to. They probably screen you with a rav. To make sure, to make sure that you, al pi halacha, you're chayiv to bring the Korban. Who says? You come and go, I went to shul in a place where there was no erev, and I found there was a tissue in my pocket. So here I am to bring a Korban chatas. So they said, excuse me, sir, you don't bring Korban chatas for that. That's called a misasik. Just because you walked to shul and you found a tissue in your pocket, you don't bring Korban. That's a misasik. You didn't even realize there was a tissue in your pocket. So have a nice day, get back on the plane, go back home. So first they would interrogate you al pi halacha, are you chayiv to bring a korban? Because many people are maratzim, they don't even know the exact parameters. You know what you find today, the biggest misinformation? Birchas ha-goynel. I met my father, shul, my father was a rav, they were always balabatim, all of them, all the time. They get an aliyah, and they say Baruch Atah Hashem. After they get the Aliyah, they say Baruch Atah Hashem Lachum Hagomel Lachayavim Toivim Shegmolani Kol Toiv. Oh, me Shegmolani Kol Toiv. We're going to go to Salah. So they say Good Shabbos to my father. Why do you make Birchas Hagoyim? And they tell my father a whole story. My father would say, "Wow, it's a very nice story, but I'm sorry to break it to you. You just made a bracha levatola. You don't make a bracha on that type of story. There are set rules and guidelines rules and guidelines when you make. I remember this once Baba was made a very big deal. What happened? He was driving on the road and he saw someone stranded. So he pulls over and he opens up the door and he's talking to the guy and he takes the guy into his car and they get in the car. And then as they were, they were pulling away, the car blew up. The other car, the car that the guy went out, and no one even knew that it was about to blow up. So he made a birchas sagoima. Look at that. I could have been killed. The car blew up. So if you don't know the halacha, taka seems like, you know, you didn't even know. The guy's sitting here on the side of the road. He pulled over. Somehow, whatever, this fellow pulled over. He sees the car is whatever, so he takes him in the car. I guess, I don't know, they called the mechanic. I don't know what they did exactly. And then 5 minutes later, that car blows up. When the car blew up, everyone was totally safe and sound, not even realizing what could have happened. They were safe and sound. So it's a miracle. There's no question. But you don't make a birchas hagoyim. You make a birchas hagoyim if you were in the car and it blew up and nothing happened to you. But if the car blew up when you were totally not in the car and you were elsewhere and what could have happened, maybe you could have a kiddush. You want to go make a kiddush in shul. You want to give sherech v'haidah. You want to go talk about it. That's absolutely yes. But al pi halacha, that does not qualify as birchas hagoymel. Problem is this person, he didn't know the halacha. And he on his own, he decided it's davar pashut that he should make birchas hagoymel. Maisim b'chol yom. When it comes to birchas hagoymel, you have this all the time. People have these interesting ideas. And other things as well. So the first thing is, come to Beis HaMikdash, you interrogate al pi halacha, you chayiv to bring a karban. Then let's say the Rav paskins, yes, this fellow has to bring a karban. Sir, enter interrogation room number 2. And then the Kohen comes in and says, okay, you need to bring a karban. Do you know what kind of karban you're going to bring? Do you realize the severity of what you've done? Have you done teshuvah? Did you fast? And it can very well be the Kohen will say to the person, you know, I don't think you're ready yet. You're not ready yet. I think you should go do teshuva. Go, come back in a week. You're not ready yet. Davin, you have to fast Monday, Thursday, Monday. You have to learn the halacha, Hilcha Shabbos, to understand what you've done. You just can't bring a carbon here. What do you think this is over here? Just come bring a carbon, you finished? You're not ready for a carbon. And the Kohen will give him a program of repentance. And then he comes back a week later, he fasted Monday, Thursday, Monday, and he talks, he learns the halachas, he gets tahed on the halachas, and then the Kohen gives him a musa shmuz, and he talks to him, and he develops a relationship with him, and then they go, they bring the carbon, and he has to say vidui. This is a very complicated process. And then there's a follow-up. Rav Mordechai, you're a dentist. After you do a procedure, do you call the patient the next day and see how they're feeling?
Sometimes.
See that? You see what he does? After you do a filling, he calls the patient the next day. I've done on you a very difficult, complicated procedure, and you very likely you're in a lot of pain. How are you feeling today? That's what the Kohen does. After you bring the carbon, he calls you up. New, how do you feel? Has the experience affected you? Is your Shabbos the same Shabbos? You build a relationship with the Kohen. And it's a very long, complex process of teshuvah. This is not like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. I got to get rid of this duty. I have a duty. I did an Aveira. What a burden. Go to the Beis HaMikdash, bang, bring the carbon, swipe the credit card, bring you my shliach, I do smicha, 2 minutes, lip service, I'm out of here. It's a joke. That's not the way it worked. Maybe that's how it worked during the time of the Churban, when there was massive corruption, and it was just lip service and a show, but this man, Yisrael Eisim, Yisrael Eisim, Yisrael Eisim, Yisrael Eisim, Yisrael Eisim, Yisrael was resting the Beis HaMikdash, he didn't just walk in and bring a carbon. The ikar experience of the Beis HaMikdash is what you do not see in any model of the Beis HaMikdash. It's the people, the Kohanim serving in the Beis HaMikdash. These beautiful illustrated books they have today, art scroll, magnificent. You go, you can see these models in Eretz Yisrael and even museums, magnificent models. What are these models? Bricks and stones, wood, gold and silver. There's almost never a person, a representative of a person in these models. And the truth is, yeah, it's a very nice building, but it's meaningless. The whole experience of the Beis HaMikdash was the social interaction you had with the people who served in the Beis HaMikdash. I remember it used to be years ago, there were two institutions that were competing for students. Everyone today it's the big business today. You have a million yeshivas, they have people, they have professional recruiters who come, they send out shluchim to go and recruit boys to come to the yeshiva. So there was two institutions, big institutions, and they were spending enormous amount of money in all of the newspapers to promote, to advertise for students to come to their institutions. And they obviously had, they hired very different marketing firms. And one institution, in all of their advertisements, in all the fancy magazines, they show you these magnificent images of their buildings. Their buildings. They showed you this building, that building. And the other institution, they showed you a student. They just showed you a student with almost nothing else. No buildings, no background. They showed you a student smiling.
What did they ask for? Why are you in Toronto today?
Nothing changed, I guess, huh? So
there's
they,
no buildings.
What?
No buildings.
What did they show you? The students?
Only students.
Only students. Okay, so they just know they changed them. They're obviously they changed because they go there. So, and these men are back to back, side by side. This institution, they showed you this beautiful building. And this institution, they just showed you a student. No building, nothing. Very, very simple. You don't have to have any inner, just have a student smiling. This student, he is a dogma of what you can be. Look at that smile, look at that happiness. He's one of us. Okay, so the Beis HaMikdash, what is the Beis HaMikdash? A building? Oh, we learn a lot. We have all these books, a whole library of all these magnificent books about what it looks like. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you have 3D models you put on these goggles, you can walk around. It's unbelievable what technology has done. It's probably much more magnificent in the models than it is in real life. But that's irrelevant. That's totally irrelevant. What the Beis HaMikdash is all about is the people. Is having dignified kohanim, chashuvim. That's what it's about. That's what counts. And that's over here. It's the experience of the social interaction. And here in this pasuk, Malachi is coming to criticize the kohanim. You are miserable failures. Doesn't matter that the Beis HaMikdash is magnificent, it's beautiful, it has great air conditioning, it has Wi-Fi, it has all this, all these amenities. Who cares? What counts are the people, chashuvim, yirei shamayim. That's what it's all about. And here, Kadosh Baruch Hu is criticizing the kohanim. Okay, let's now go to the Malbim. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bidvaroi. Mr. Cohen, thank you very much. Let's see the Malbim, page 867. A son loves his father and therefore has an obligation to give him honor. Honor is what? Rashi tells us. Food, drink. What else?
Yeah, you
don't know. That's Yira. Kavod is to provide him with food, basically gashmias, to provide him accommodations. His physical accommodation should be top notch. You take him into the house, you give him the best. How many people, when their parents come, give them the master bedroom? This is a different generation.
Let him sit at
the I remember my grandparents would come. My parents gave my grandparents the master bedroom, and I think a lot of people did that. Today no one does that. Today it's unheard of. It's unheard of today that when parents come to visit the children, you put them in the basement. you put them in the closet. you find, you clear out some space.
And you put him with the baby.
And you put him somewhere else. Yeah, I remember my parents, they mamish, my grandparents came. My parents moved out of their bedroom. They used to, there was the nicest room in the house. It was immaculate, I remember. And I don't remember my parents. They slept in the basement. I don't know where they slept. And not just my parents. I mean, I think that was very common. Years ago, that was very common. There's a whole different mentality. Even when you come to that, this is more, a little more controversial. Also, when they come, where do they sit? The dining room table. So this is a little more complicated. It's a little more complicated because you know, you want to, you know, you have to raise your own children, and your own children have to see that you're the boss. So I know this is the myth. This is interesting. Some people, they're very machbo, and the grandparents come. The grandparents, they sit, the grandfather sits, the rosh, he sits where the father ordinarily sits. They're very machbed on this. And some families not. They feel that's the wrong thing to do. They feel that it's not the right thing that the grandparents should sit there, not because they don't want to give them respect, chas v'shalom. It's a certain surah of a bias. There's a whole hashkafa behind this. Everyone is, you can't generalize. Everyone is different. Every situation is different. Every age group, every type of family. That's not a lack of cover. Just a different approach to adrab of bringing the proper dignified cover to the family. Yesh liyesh. And look, sometimes the grandparents say, no, I'm not sitting. I don't want you to. I don't want to sit over there. I want to have nachas. I want to watch you raise your children. There are many variables. But that's so you can't chas v'shalom. I've seen both ways, and I've seen very done by very chashul people both ways, and I've seen it's very dignified. You know, yesh v'yesh. Okay, in any event, let's over here, Bain, over here, there is so kavod is always given, providing their physical accommodations. Yira is respect. Do not contradict the words of your father. What else is yira? What do you say, Mayor? What do you say? Yira was sit in the seat. Do not sit in the seat. Okay, right, sitting in the seat. Yira is not providing physical accommodations. It is something which is more abstract, something which is not tangible. Respect.
Dressing by the first name.
Standing up.
Standing up, what do you say, right?
Addressing by the first name.
Addressed by the first name. In America today, that's how many people are raised. They call their father by the first name. Their parents. Unbelievable. A lot of children have a hard time because they hear their parents call, they hear the wife call the father. So if the mother calls the father Yanko, so the children call the father Yanko. monkey see, monkey do.
They get trained.
Takes time to train them. Right? Takes time to train. I always tell you the joke, I love the joke, is where a three-year-old or a two-year-old, the mother says to the child, pick up your bottle from the floor. So the two-year-old says to the mother, what do you think, I'm the maid here? Because that's what the mother says to the husband. The child hears the mother say to the husband, what do you think, I'm the maid here? So the child, he picks it up. So when the mother says to the child, pick up your bottle, he says, what do you think, I'm the maid here? Okay, monkey see, monkey do. That's the way it goes. Okay, but the best thing is when the mother wakes up in the middle of the night, the baby is crying. So the mother goes, she wakes up, she goes to get the pacifier. She's half asleep. She goes and she finds the pacifier, and she goes back to her bed and she sticks the pacifier in the mouth of her husband.
I was a witness to this thing. Once I gave a private lesson to a boy in his house. And he says, can I eat my salad? I said, okay, why not? Why we learn? And some fell on the floor. And I said, pick it up. No, that's the maid's job.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not supposed to do that. The maid, I don't want to blame anybody.
Wow.
The maid, when I saw that, and I said, no. The people are, because I'm here, and I'm telling you, this is the right thing to do.
Excellent.
Did you pick it up?
Okay, that's, I like that. That's very nice. Bain, back to the Rambam. Bain, Yamahine, Behaben, Yamahine, 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 rules upon him. Yamahine, Yamahine, if you step out of line, the master will punish the slave. Shalachem lo yaseh davar hasanui be'enav, not do something which is hated in the eyes of the master. So the pasuk continues, Hashem complains to Klali Yisrael, v'im ov oni, al yidei she'atem kibonim lufanai, oivdim me'ahava. If I am your father, if you serve me from the... Malm over here is adding a new dimension. And he's saying that there are servants, there are those who serve Hashem me'ahava, and there are those who serve Hashem me'yira. Okay, it's a different type of approach to life. I'll give you an example. I don't want to say which institutions, but I davened many years in a certain institution on the Yamim Noiroim. And I really, you know, it's a lot of the wooden life is what you're used to. It's not whether it's good or bad, just what you're used to. And then I didn't actually daven in another place, but I became familiar with another institution, and I became familiar with the nusach, for whatever reason, with the nusach HaTfilah on the Yamim Noiroim. I got the recordings, not obviously not live recordings, but the Shliach Tzibor, he recorded his nusach for the Yamim Noiroim, and I listened intensely to the recordings, and not just his nusach, similar nuschois that follow that same shprach, that same mahalich. And it's very, very different from what I'm used to. And I asked someone about this. You know, there are obviously many minhagim in Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is diverse. You know, there are different nuschois. It is a very significant choshev play. And one of my friends, he said to me, it's very posh of the difference. He says to me, you don't understand. In this institution, on the Yamim Noiroim, their mindset is Yira. It's an avoida of Yira. In this yeshiva, that's what they do. They come to davening with a mindset of fear before Hashem. In this institution, they come to the Yamim Noiroim in a frame of mind of ahava. And when he said this to me, it's like my fireworks went off. That's right. Like, you could not have said it better. You could not have defined the difference in the approach, the nusach, the melody, the motif of how it's presented. You could not have defined it better. This place is Yira, and this place is Ahav. Now, someone like me who's, you know, I'm not a very deep person, it's just a matter of what I'm used to, okay? It's not just, what I'm used to this. Other people, it doesn't work. They're wired. Everyone is wired a different way. There are people who thrive in the approach of Yira. That's where their neshama finds itself comfortable. And there are people who thrive in an environment where the approach is Yira. Okay? I mean, again, some people, you know, it can go either way. Wherever you fall in. Musical chairs. When the music stops, you just drop. Wherever you are, you are. You get used to it, you're fine, you can adapt one way or another. But there are people that know their nature, their personality is such that they will have no menuchas hanefesh if they're in the wrong place. They're in the wrong place. There was someone I remember, I knew. He was Orthodox, definitely Orthodox, but he was very different. He was always cutting edge. Cutting edge, you know, on the edge of becoming conservative. A certain type of person. So I always thought that this fellow, it's his background. If he would have been brought up in a Hasidish home, he would be a Chassid. He was brought up in a certain type of environment, and that's why he was always like, you know, just, you always wondered sometimes, are you religious or you're not religious? Like, where are you holding? I always thought. Then I got to know him very well. And I realized this fellow, he's wired, his brain is wired totally differently. I have no doubt if he would have been brought up in a Hasidic environment, he would be the same way he is now. He would have left and lived the lifestyle he lives now. If he would have been brought up as a totally irreligious, he would have shifted. He's wired. There are certain types of people. That's how Hashem made them. Hashem made them a certain way, and they will eventually gravitate to where they are comfortable. And there are certain people, their avoda is yira, and there are people whose avoda is ahava. Most people, I don't really find that to be really true. I find most people, just a matter of what you're used to. And you can easily adapt one way or another way, you know, things like that. But here he's touching upon this approach, and he's saying over here something very profound, the Malbim. He's saying, Bein yechavidav v'eved adoinav. So we, on the first time that we discussed this, we discussed with the idea that Hashem gives man freedom. You decide. You decide. Hashem, we discussed Hashem has many titles. Hashem is a father. Hashem is a master. Hashem is a shepherd. Hashem is our husband. Hashem is our teacher. Hashem is our military leader. We find Hashem has many. Hashem is the Zokein Yeshev, Zokein Molei Rachamim. We find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has so many different types of terms. We don't find, by the way, Hashem is our child. That you don't find. No one has the chutzpah to say that Hashem is our son, our daughter. That you don't say. Okay, such a thing is not that, you know, there are limits in the relationship. By the way, I think the Shechina sometimes is called a Kala. Shabbos Malchasa, king, a queen. That's an element of the Shechina. But we find Hashem, and we discussed the first time that we learned these from the Kodesh Baruch Hu, is giving us the ability to choose. You decide. You make a decision, and you decide how you want to relate to me. It's your decision how you want to approach me. Here he's saying, Imam over here is saying something different. He's saying is that it's not just a decision. It's a certain natural disposition. Hashem made different types of people, and each type of person has a natural disposition of where they find themselves comfortable. Again, with above in the Malbim, Haben Yichabed, Haben Yoyma Hinei, Haben Yichabed, V'Yizoya V'Chavoy, V'Bitzad Ahava, Asher Yavah, Asher Ovet, V'Ovet, 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 V'Bitzad Shul Moshul Olav, V'Yom Yon, Shul Shulachim V'Yaseh Dovar, Hasson V'Enav. Again, now the first one line in the Malbim, page 867, V'Lovani, Adide She'atem K'bonim L'Fanai, Oivdi Me'Ahava. If I am your father, let's say you're going to serve me from the disposition of being of love, me'ahava, if your natural disposition is to serve Hashem with an approach of love, the ikar is a love approach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ayekiv oidi, v'im adoy nemoni, she'enchem b'midas ho'ahava. It's not your natural disposition to live a life of love.
It's not either.
Right. Some people are a little both.
You have to have both.
But what's the ikkar?
If you want to, where's my love?
Of course, you have to have both. There's no question you have to have both. But there's always an ikkar. There's always an ikkar. V'yalkol parim haloi tzrich matem lihisyar mi'onshi. Even though you don't want to relate to me with ahava, you still have to realize there's something called yira. Haloi tzrich matem lihisyarei me'oinshi from punishment ba'asher ani ha'odoin shel kol ha'oilam. Ve'ayei moi ro'i shenei ha'she'eloi so'ele omar Hashem tzvokas lechem ha'koyhanim. Now this is something that's not the way we learned. See, we learned until now, according to almost everyone, that the words omar Hashem tzvokas lechem ha'koyhanim is going on the next part of the pasuk. We learned until now, we took these words, we broke up the sentence, ayei the im of oni ayei chevoidi, period. The im adoinim oni ayei moiroi, period. Hard stop. And then we said, new sentence, Omar Hashem tzivokois lochem ha-koyhanim boizei shemi. You koyhanim have disgraced my name. That's how we learned until now. That's not the way the Malam is learning. The Malam is in the words Omar Hashem Tzivokos Lochem is going back on the question Ayei Kivoydi and Ayei Moiroi. Omar Hashem Tzivokos Lochem Akoyanim Umufarish Shnei Hasheilos Hasheilo Im Hasheilo Im Ov Oni Ayei Kivoydi Omar Hashem Lochem Akoyanim Boizei Shmi V'Hasheilo Hasheinis Im Adonim Oni Ayei Moiroi. It's going back. Now he's not explaining though. I don't understand the Amartim, but he's not really explaining the Amartim. Let's go back to the positive we're trying to say over here. Amar Hashem Tzvokas Lochem HaKoyhanim Boizei Shmi for the Kovoid V'Amartim V'Ameh Bozinu. So I guess what he's saying over here is, let's see the next part of the pasuk. Let's go further. We'll come together. Let's see the next pasuk in the Malam. We'll come back. We'll come bring it together. One piece together. Pasuk Zion in the Malam. Magishim al mizbech lechem migo'ol. Return the lemar. Shemitzad hakovoid ve'ahavas Hashem ein roi shetivazu eshmi. From the perspective of love, it is not correct that you should disgrace my name. Sheze hebech hakovoid umitzad hamoira. It's not proper that you should offer disgusting bread. It's fitting that you should fear me. Regarding both of these, we're going backwards in the pasuk. It's not true. They deny it. They're in a state of denial. V'amartem b'meh ge'al nucha. Okay, we'll just read all the words and we'll explain everything. She'atem machishem zois, you deny this. Al zem mivorer lohem, it's not true. She'bizu eshmo v'shegrivu lechem migo'ol v'neged, corresponding to what it says, b'meh v'zinu eshmecha meshiv be'emorchem shulchan Hashem nivzehu. She'atem oimrim she'azevach abo al shulchan Hashem ritzon loymar al mizbeach. It's disgusting. That we have not yet done the next pasuk. That's going to be pasuk chesed. According to the Malbim, unlike all the other commentators, we're still in the middle. According to Rashi, this is the Radak, pasuk chesed is a very nice break point. It's a good break point according to the way we've learned according to those commentators. So according to the Malbim, we're really in the middle. And he's very, what he's doing over here is very interesting. Let's go back and just read the Pesukim. Again, according to the Malbim, ways to learn the Pesukim. Go back to Pesuk Vav. Bein Yechaverov, Ve'ever Adonav, Bein Yechaverov, number one. The Ever Adonav is number two. So everything now for the next couple of Pesukim is going to be corresponding to one and two. Bein Yechaverov is principle number one. The Ever Adonav is principle number two. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reviews. Everything is parallel. V'im Ovani, with regard to principle number one, if I am your father, Ayech Vaydi. Now we do principle number two. V'im Adonim Oni, if I am your master, Ayeh Moiroi. Now let's continue. Omar Hashem Tzivokos, Lochem Akayanim Boizei Shemi. And now we're going to go one thing at a time. With regard to principle number one, Hashem is now coming to demand, why have you disgraced my name? This is all continuing according to principle number one with honor and me being your father. If I am truly your father, you are my children, and you owe me honor, why have you disgraced my name? Bizyonos is the opposite of covet. So we're only dealing now with covered. We're only dealing now with principle number one. So Hashem is saying, why did you disgrace my name? Omar Hashem Tzivokos Lachem Akoyim Boizei Shmi is going back, according to the Malbim, on Bein Yechaverov. Klal Yishlol responds, V'amartem B'meh Bozinu Eshmecha. So Hashem answers, let's say, Bagishim al Mizbech Lechem, it's a little bit complicated, the way the sequence. Pasuk Zayin, now is going on principle number two. Magishim al Mizbech You bring on my mizbeach, disgusting bread. And you respond, how have we detested you? That's principle number two. And Hashem answers, with regard to principle number one, b'morchem shulchan Hashem bivzehu. And the answer to number one, I'm getting open, you need like a map. You need a map here. Let's try this one more time. He's going back and forth, he's vacillating between the principle number one, principle number two. Let's try one more time. Ben Yechaberav is number one. The Eved Adonav is number two. Now we go back, we repeat. The Im of Oni, number one. Ayekavodi, the Im Adonim Oni, Ayekavodi, two. Now, here we go. Here's where it gets complicated. Now when it says, Omar Hashem Tzivoko Yislochem HaKoyanim, Boi Zeishmi, that's number one. We're going back to number one. Klal Yishol says back, what are you talking about, Hashem? V'amartim, v'ameh v'zinu eshemecho. Now, there is no answer. There is no, this is the difference between the Malbum, and everyone else. Because according to everyone else, Pasuk Zayin is a reply to v'amartim. That's what it appears to be. Pasuk Vav, the end of Pasuk Vav, Klal Yishol says to Hashem, what are you talking about? B'meh v'zinu eshemecho. And then Pasuk Zayin is Hashem's response. According to the Malbum, Hashem is not responding. Hashem, we're asking two questions. Hashem is not responding in Pasuk Zayin, and Hashem is making a second accusation. Pasuk Zayin is going now, shifting to principle number two. I have two complaints against you. I have a complaint regarding me being your father, Kovoid, and I have a complaint against you with me being your master and you not showing me proper respect. And I have two accusations. Number, with regard to the Kovoid, I say to you, the Kohanim, you're boizei shemi. You're being mevazim. And Klal Yishol is in denial. And they say, "V'amartim, v'mevazinu v'shemach." We're now mevazim. Now Hashem is not responding. Now that's the difference. That's where the Malbim differs. Now in Pasuk Zayin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now elaborating upon his second accusation. If I am your master, if I am your Adon, where is the respect? Where is the moira? Magishim al mizbech yilechem migo'ol. You bring on the mizbeach disgusting things. That is a lack of moira. And Klal Yishol says, no, we're not. V'amartem, v'megi alucha. We didn't do anything. We didn't do anything disgusting to you. We didn't detest you. We didn't show a lack of moira. And now is Hashem first begins to respond. And Hashem responds al rishon rishon v'al acharon acharon. It's like when Eliezer met Rivka. He asked her a whole list of questions. And then she gave the answers. And she gave the answers in order. That's a smart person. When you ask a person five questions, and they give the answer in order. You ask me three questions. Question number one, is this the answer? Question number one. Question number two, this the answer. Question number three, this the answer. Al rishon rishon, v'al acharon acharon. That is a sign of wisdom. If you ever watch the press conferences, okay, whether it's for the President of the United States, whether it's for anyone, and people ask the mayor during COVID, you always watch people ask questions to public officials and people, you know, health experts, and you ask them all these symposiums and these conferences, and people want to ask doctors, what should we do, this, that, and they shoot out many questions. And then they respond. So sometimes they'll say, okay, you asked me three questions, let's do one at a time. Number one, two, three. And sometimes they just talk from two sides of their mouth, and they say whatever they want to say. It is tremendous chokhmah to go watch people mince words and just just say what they want to say. This woman now, working for Biden, she has a lot of talent, no?
No.
She has quite a bit of talent, I think. Okay.
She has a lot of luck. They don't ask her back.
That's part of the corruption, that you select the people in the audience and you select who you want to ask a question to. That's part of the chachmah. But then when you finally hear that, you know, you get someone who asks you a really hard question and you don't want to answer, and you make a joke out of it and you deflect it and you say total nonsense, and it takes you a couple of minutes to what did you answer me? To digest. It's pretty interesting. That's what makes a politician. A politician has to know how to answer questions.
Sound bites
and the science. I once watched a fascinating documentary where they train politicians, professionals. They train politicians how to answer very difficult questions, not answer questions. But more than that, they train them not to ever say a sound bite that can ever be sliced and used against them, even though it was something that will be taken totally out of context. This thing was amazing. This person, he was talking to a regular person, and okay, I'm going to interview now, and I'm going to have a conversation. And he asked him like 10 questions, and then they showed how this professional took the conversation, and he made sound bites, and he made a commercial. He made like a make-believe commercial, make-believe you were running for president, you were running for mayor. And here's the commercial. And he took his own words and he played them. You would think he's the devil. it's an incredible chokhmah to know how to do it. So over here, that's going on over here to some degree. Over here there's a conversation going on. You have to know exactly me Omar El Me. The Malm again is very unique in what he's doing. The Malm over here is saying over here the order is 1-2-1-2-1-2-1-2. Father, am I your father or am I your master? If I'm your father, you owe me covet. If I'm your master, you owe me yira. Then Hashem's, okay, let's start. I'm coming to demand Omar Hashem Tzvokas, number one, father, covet. Omar Hashem Tzvokas, lochama kainin boizei shmi. You were mevazini. Where's the covet? Klal Yishol is in denial. Vamartem, vamebazin reshemecha. Now, number two, Hashem is speaking, he's not responding. That's the point, that's the main point of the Malbim. That's what differentiates the Malbim from everyone else on the page. Pasuk Zayin begins a second accusation. Accusation number two. If I am your master, you owe me kavod. You owe me yira. Where is the yira? And Hashem's accusation is magishim al mizbechi lechem migo'ol. That is an accusation. You're not having any fear. You're not afraid I'm going to punish you for putting on the mizbech something disgusting. And Klal Yishol is in denial. V'amarte v'me ge'al nucha. Now Hashem responds. The response comes al rishon, yal acharoin. When it says the end of Pasuk Zayin be'emorchem shulchan Hashem nizehu, that goes back to the father and the kavod. You're in denial. You're telling me that you're not mevazimi. You are mevazimi. You know how you're mevazimi? By calling my shulchan the shulchan nivze. And with regard to you telling me that you don't show me fear, you're in denial. You're not having fear. You, I'm telling you, you're liars. You have no fear because you put on the mizbech disgusting things. That's pasiches. V'chisagishun iver lizbech ein ra. You put v'chisagishu pisech v'choyle ein ra. Hakrever no lefech hasecha, hayirtzecha, oy hayisef anecha v'ashem tzavakais. That's response to your denial of accusation number two. So the Malm is unbelievable. The Malm is always novel. It's always an eye-opener. It totally changed the whole dynamics. The Malm over here is looming over here. Al Rishon, Rishon, Yal Acharain, Acharain, Pasik, Zayin is the beginning of accusation number two. Not like Rashi, Givit Suvis, and the Radak, where Pasik Zayin is Hashem's response. No, we're not yet up to Hashem's response. We're now up to Hashem's second accusation of where is the Moira, the Yira. And then at the end of the pasuk, when it says be'emorchem, it's not a new conversation, a continuation of the conversation like Rashi, Yitzchus, and the Radak. No, Be'amorchem is Hashem's response. He's responding to our denial of accusation number one. And then Pasuk Ches begins Hashem's response to our denial of accusation number two. It's very orderly according to the Malbim, and the words actually fit. The words, because Nivzeh is the Kavod, and the Iver and the Piseach, this is the Lecha Migo'ol. Beautiful, it really fits like a glove. According to Rashi and the Radak and the Mitzudos, we're having a very long, complicated conversation. Hashem makes an accusation, we respond. And then Hashem responds to our accusation, and then there's a conversation. This is not a conversation. This is accusation one, accusation two. You plead innocent or guilty. We plead innocent on both. Hashem says, regarding your reply of innocent, you pleading innocent on number one, you're wrong, here's the evidence. Regarding you pleading innocent on accusation number two, you're wrong, and here's the evidence. It's very orderly, according to the Malbim. Okay, we're out of time. We'll stop over here till tomorrow with the Mar Chazal. We're going to do kinos. If you can take it on the table, there are kinos. We're going to try to learn some of the kinos in a few moments.
Didn't know what your name was.
Amar, the dog.
Thank you.